Well, thank you so much, everybody, for joining us today on another episode of ExtremeHealthRadio.com. We're really excited to have today's guest with us. His name is Barry Carter, and I'll be introducing him in just a moment. I hope you're having a great day, whatever you're doing. And it's another hot day here in Southern California. It's going to be around 100 degrees again, and it's quite a heat wave here. So we are doing shows 3 days a week on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Today is Monday, October 1st, 2012, and this is episode number 15. Just so you know, you can find this show, the show notes, and the transcribed version at extremehealthradio.com/15. And if you have any questions for the guest, you can email them to me at justin@extremehealthradio.com, or you can call them in, leave a message, and we'll play it on the air. It's 949-391-7363. And today's show is brought to you once again by my favorite product, the Vitamix Blender. It's the most amazing kitchen appliance we have. We love it. Use it 3 days a week and couldn't live without it. And so if you're in the market to buy a Vitamix, please consider doing it through us. We'll get a little commission and that will help support our efforts. You can check that out at extremehealthradio.com/Vitamix. And I'll be introducing my guest in just one moment, but I wanted to talk a little bit about our upcoming show schedule. Next week, we've got Dr. Bob Marshall out of Austin, Texas. He's got a natural cure for just about everything. He's an amazing guy. And we've got Dr. Charles Partito on Monday, the 8th. He's the owner of the Ejuva Cleanse. So if you're looking to do some cleansing, some colon cleansing, check that show out. We've got Nina Silver, who does a lot of work, interesting work with energy medicine and using devices like Rife machines. It's just really incredible the work she's doing. And we've also got Nadine Artemis next week too, who's the owner of Living Libations. So let me just read a quick little bio of Barry Carter and we'll introduce him and get going. He is a leading authority on a substance called Ormus. It's also known as the white powder of gold, the focus of Lawrence Gardner's Lost Secret of the Sacred Ark. And he's been working with Ormus Elements since 1989, and he travels around the world giving presentations on the historic context, biological implications, increasing scientific documentation, and practical engineering applications of these extraordinary substances. Ormus Elements are the precious metal elements in a natural, non-metallic form. In this form, they're much more common than they are in the metallic form, and they exhibit strange properties like being able to disappear or levitate or pass through solid objects. And they seem to be related to the ancient alchemical materials and have been linked to the biblical manna, shewbread, King Solomon gold, and the Egyptian, I don't even know how to say that word, discussed by Gardner. But nonetheless, Barry Carter is an expert in Ormus and the technology around that. So thank you, Barry, for joining us today on today's episode.
My pleasure.
So you're calling in from Oregon, is that right?
Yes. I live in Eastern Oregon, also known as Eastern Oregon.
Oh, are you guys getting heat waves up there like we are down here in California?
Summer hasn't stopped.
Oh, man, it's amazingly hot down here. So you have a website called subtleenergies.com, and on your bio it says that you've been working with Ormus since 1989. So I know you've told this story 1,000 times, but you ran into someone a long time ago that had poisoned himself with arsenic and lead, is that right?
A friend of mine, a guy named Jim, got his hands in some mine waste water. And this water somehow got into his body through his hands. And when he opened, well, it immediately sort of knocked him out. Mm-hmm. He fell to the ground. When he opened his hands after he got his hands in the water, fibers of gold came out the backs of his hands. Now, this seemed a little bit odd at the time, and there was something apparently in his body that moved the Ormus elements toward their metallic form, and that may be what caused the lead and arsenic poisoning, but it may also be what saved him, because he... he was sick for a year or more, mm-hmm. but after that I talked him into taking some hydrogen peroxide, mm-hmm. just very small amounts mixed with water, and that seemed to help detox the toxic metals in his body.
Okay. And so what happened after that? Did it clear right away, or did it take time?
It took about 2 weeks.
Okay. And so
he pretty much was fully recovered in a month.
Uh-huh.
And then in 1995, that was back in 1989. In 1995, I heard about David Hudson and went to one of his lectures in Portland, Oregon,
mm-hmm.
and took my friend Jim with me. He couldn't afford to go at the time, but I paid his way. And we learned more about Ormus, or basically we learned about what it was that caused the problem for Jim and why the problem resolved itself.
Interesting. Now, David Hudson, is he still alive? Is he still with us?
Oh, yes.
He is. Okay. And is he, now he does primarily his work with Ormus or with other substances as well?
Primarily works with what?
Does David Hudson only work with Ormus, or does he work with other substances? You know, does he do other types of work as well?
He's a cotton farmer, or was, in Arizona.
Okay.
And he noticed while he was working on his cotton farm that there was these white materials that showed up in his soil, and he tried to get them assayed, and they wouldn't assay, and this triggered his exploration of them. He mostly worked with other chemists. He was not a professional chemist himself.
Okay.
And this allowed him to basically identify some materials that were unidentifiable in using most conventional methods of assay and so on. He, in fact, purified these materials, and they showed up as pure nothing.
Really?
He'd have a white substance, and when it was subjected to assay, they would say, there's nothing there.
Wow. So, but he knew intrinsically that there was something there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Since David Hudson's work, and this, his work started, I think, in the late 70s and continued through, well, and still continues today.
Mm-hmm.
What he found was that these minerals are natural mineral nutrients that are present in every plant that was tested.
Mm-hmm.
Brain tissue of cows and pigs, and in every rock source that he tested as well. Some rock sources had higher levels than others, but it was basically everywhere.
So it's in the air, it's in basically everything.
It's in the air, it's in the water, it's in the soil, it's in rocks. The problem is that whenever we harvest food
mm-hmm.
from a given area and ship it somewhere else, we're removing these minerals, and because we don't know they're there, we're not replacing them. So we're depleting the soil. David Brower, a famous environmentalist, back in the late 80s late 90s. Mm-hmm. Talked to a bunch of people at an environmental law conference in Eugene, Oregon, and told us that that we've lost half of our topsoil. Mm-hmm. America has lost half of our topsoil in the last 80 years.
Wow.
Now, we can't do that again.
No.
No. And continue to eat.
Right.
So this is something that should be very interesting to anyone who eats food or breathes air. If you don't eat food or breathe air, don't worry about it.
Yeah, you're okay. Well, the breatharians will be okay with that then.
No, they breathe air.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's where they get it.
See, we're systematically depleting these minerals by shipping food off-site and then ultimately flushing our waste into the ocean.
Now, when you say minerals, do you mean the ormus state minerals or the actual minerals itself?
Well, these elements are in the ormus state.
Okay.
More commonly than they are as metals.
Okay.
For example, in seawater, it appears that ormus rhodium, ormus iridium, and ormus gold are more common in seawater than calcium is in seawater.
Wow.
And calcium and magnesium are two of the most common elements in seawater. There's more sodium as salt, but those are the two more, three, four, and five or something like that. Mm-hmm. In terms of how common minerals are in seawater.
Wow. So conventional science, do they recognize that there is such a thing as ormus, or do they not even know about it?
They probably don't.
Okay.
Science typically, many scientists typically feel as if science is completed.
Mm-hmm.
Science is done. We've already figured out everything that there is to know. You know, what else is there? What else can we figure out?
Yeah, we figured it all out.
Right. I'll give you an example.
Mm-hmm.
In 1895, Lord Kelvin, president of the Royal Society, said, "Heavier than air flying machines are impossible." In 1923, Robert Millikan, Nobel Prize physicist, said, "There is no likelihood man can ever tap the power of the atom."
Wow.
Charles H. Duell, the director of the U.S. Patent Office, in 1899 said, "Everything that can be invented has been invented."
This was 1899. Amazing.
Thomas Watson, who was a chairman of IBM in 1943, said, "I think there is a world market for maybe five computers."
Wow.
And Bill Gates, who the founder of Microsoft, in 1981 said this about memory, computer memory. Mm-hmm. 640K ought to be enough for anybody.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
So we see scientists thinking that, hey, this is all, we've come as far as we can go, there's nothing new. But obviously, new discoveries are being made all of the time, and we think that this is what's going on with the ormus, is we've discovered something that is totally new. When these minerals, when these ormus minerals are put on the ground,
mm-hmm.
one farmer noticed that after he'd added these minerals, he had 8 inches of new topsoil in one season.
Wow.
8 inches of black soil dark brown soil in one season.
That is amazing. Over how much an area of land?
Several acres of land.
Jeez, that's amazing.
And others have noticed, have documented, that their plants grow twice as big and faster. So I've documented, now realize that we're right at the beginning of our exploration of these minerals.
Okay.
We're just starting to get information about how important they are for health and the health of plants and animals and people.
Mm-hmm.
And I've noticed in my house that I water my house plants every 6 weeks instead of once a week, like I used to.
Because of the ormus.
Because the ormus minerals seem to provide the nutrients. When people, I don't know if you've heard of this, but there's a bit of an obesity epidemic.
I've heard.
And people when they don't get all the nutrients they need, they remain hungry.
Mm-hmm.
So you eat some sugary material and you're still hungry, and you eat more sugary material. This is good for the people who sell sugary material.
Right.
But it's not necessarily good for the people that eat it. And when we put ormus into the food, people seem to eat less. Less food seems to do. I think I'm eating about half the food that I used to eat. I'm a lacto-vegetarian. Mm-hmm. I've been lacto-vegetarian since 1969 or 1970.
Okay.
I've been, I was a raw foodist for 3 years, starting in January 1st, 1970.
Wow.
And I've been mostly raw for most of the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started eating, when I started consuming ormus supplements, I just noticed that I wasn't as hungry. I wasn't eating as much. Now, plants are similar, but plants don't get fat if they eat too much. They just waste water.
Mm-hmm.
Plants transpire water into the air in order to pull more minerals in through their roots. The only way they can take more water in is by getting more water out through the air. So they waste water. So I think this is what's happening with our with plants. My plants in my greenhouse and in my windows and stuff around my house, is that they just use a whole lot less water because they're not hungry as much. They're getting all the nutrients they need. They don't have to pull more nutrients in by wasting more water, transpiring more water through their leaves.
And that's another, I would imagine, another good way to keep your soil completely, you know, being depleted, because if the plants aren't needing to pull the minerals from the soil, if they're getting it from the ormus, then it might keep your soil lasting longer as well, I'd imagine.
Well, absolutely.
Uh-huh.
But still, we still harvest these plants and ship them somewhere else, depleting the minerals.
Mm-hmm.
So the best way to replace those minerals, I think, is to get some concentrate Ormus minerals from seawater by adding a little bit of sodium hydroxide, also known as lye. Lye is you can't eat lye by itself, but it is used in food processing, like olives are often soaked in a lye water.
Okay.
And you add this lye to the seawater, and you get a white precipitate, and that's the good stuff. And putting it on the farm or the garden or the lawn or something, I don't put it on my lawn because I don't like cutting my lawn.
right.
But putting it on your garden or your food crops, it seems to double plant growth in 2 years.
Wow.
My plums in my front yard, on my tree in my front yard, this year were about 2.5 times the size of my neighbor's plums. Mine were ready to eat, theirs weren't.
Wow.
This is at the beginning of September. And furthermore, there was probably 5 to 10 times as many plums on my tree as on my neighbor's tree. My neighbor's tree is the parent tree of my tree.
Wow, and it had less.
And it had less.
That's amazing.
And it's a smaller tree. My tree, the first 2 feet of my tree are five times the volume of wood as the first 2 feet of my neighbor's tree.
Wow, that's amazing. All right, so when we come back, we're going to take a short break, and I want to ask you a couple questions about, you know, some of the practical uses of Ormus and maybe how we can buy it or where we can make it and, you know, how we can make it. And by the way, if you haven't seen these pictures on subtleenergies.com, Barry's got tons of pictures of his walnuts and other plants that he's got and fruits that he's grown with Ormus. So definitely check that out. And that's at subtleenergies.com. We're with Barry Carter, and we'll be right back after this break.
Hi, this is Kate. Thanks for listening to the show. I want to tell you about this product I love called Heal Yourself 101 by Marcus Rothkranz. You can find it at extremehealthradio.com/heal. It's 192 pages, paperback or ebook. If you have any kind of health issues at all, whether you're overweight, having sleeping problems, thyroid issues, diabetes, heart problems, even autism, arthritis, MS, any chronic diseases, stomach issues, think of it as like the owner's manual for staying healthy. Once you learn how the body works, you can just prevent all major diseases as well as recover from them without the use of medications that do more damage in the long run than, you know, they do in the short run. So for $29, you can't go wrong. ExtremeHealthRadio.com/heal. Get yours today.
Okay, we're with Barry Carter from SubtleEnergies.com talking about the substance known as Ormus. And I wanted to ask you, Barry, about a story that's on your website regarding a cat. I think you called him King Tut, and his tail and the situation that happened after his tail. I'm not sure if it got bitten off or somehow he didn't have his tail, and then he used you guys used Ormus on that cat.
What happened was there was a lady, her name is Dana Dudley, and Dana's kind of a bit of a nerd. Or geeky, Dana put some Ormus on one side of her face, some Ormus oil, and not on the other, wondering if it would help tighten up her skin and reduce wrinkles. Mm-hmm. And on Picasa, you can search for Dana Dudley, DanaDudley on Picasa, and you can see pictures of her face. The side that she put the Ormus oil on, the wrinkles have mostly disappeared. But she's only like 60 years old, so and I think she was about 58 when she did this. And the other side of her face doesn't have wrinkles. Or let's say the wrinkles are very much diminished.
Mm-hmm.
People tell me that I have the skin of a 30-year-old in terms of wrinkles and stuff. I sure hope I don't have to give it back. But anyway, Dana got a new kitten, named him Tut after King Tut. Okay. And put him outside because he was crying all the time. He was meowing and crying. She put him on her back porch. Uh-huh. And kind of left the back door open just in case he had to get outside to do his business, you know. Okay. And that night there was a terrible windstorm. She's in North Carolina. And terrible windstorm, and her shed, the roof fell to the ground, and the next day when her cat came in the door, his tail, he was literally dragging his tail behind him. It was just held on by a thin thread of skin.
Oh, wow.
And there was about 8 inches of tail that was cut off, and she saved this segment of tail. And there was about a half inch or about 1 inch of tail that was remaining, and it grew a scab, and when the scab fell off, she saved that. So on my website, I've got a picture of the scab and the tail that came off, plus pictures of Tut the cat and his literally, she was putting hand cream on, like the kind of cream that she'd put on one side of her face.
Uh-huh.
And she was putting this cream on her hands, and Tut came over and started licking her hand. And she thought, well, this is yucky tasting hand cream. What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
The cat seemed to know. Kept licking her hand and licking her, and so she put more cream on, and then he kept licking her hand. I got a video of him, of her putting, I'd say 3 or 4 teaspoons of this hand cream on her hand.
Wow.
And Tut licking it all off.
Just couldn't stop. Yeah.
And this was before his tail was completely regrown. As you can see in the pictures that I took on the Subtle Energies website, do a search for Tut's tail.
Okay.
And Tut's tail, or tale, either way. And you'll find some pictures of Tut and his tail and how his tail grew back. Now, animals, some animals like lizards can regrow tails.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody's ever heard of mammals regrowing appendages.
That's amazing. So in order to do that, it would have had to have grown new blood vessels, new, I'm not sure what else is in a cat's tail, but it would have to...
Cartilage, bone.
Uh-huh.
Something like 18 joints in a cat's tail.
Did it grow the entire tail or just a bit of it?
Entire tail regrown.
And I'm looking at your pictures right now, and it looks like there's quite a bit of it. It was almost all... It looks like there's only a little bit that was actually left after the roof fell on it.
Yeah, there was about an inch of tail left.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. So, have you had any experience or knowledge of maybe some anecdotal evidence of people using this to regrow? I mean, I know for me, I have a torn ACL in my knee that's not completely torn, which is a good thing, but it's also a piece of tissue that, according to doctors, you know, doesn't regrow itself. Have you had any experience with people being able to regrow organs or tissue, things like that, with using Ormus?
One of the Ormus producers, a fellow that calls himself Mihu, and his name is Michael McCabe, has gotten 4 inches taller in his late 50s since he started taking Ormus.
Wow.
But he'd shrunk 6 inches.
Okay.
There's another Ormus product producer. She calls herself Rochelle.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she's gotten she's gotten 2.5 inches taller or 3 inches taller, but she'd shrunk. Well, she's taller than she was when she was a teenager.
Now, do you think this is doing something possibly in a levitative effect within the spinal column?
I think it's regenerating the tissues in the spinal column.
Wow, that's crazy. So,
I've also gotten taller, but I'm only something like a half inch taller than I was when I was the tallest when I was a teen.
Mm-hmm. So, what types of levitative effects? Because I've seen pictures. I know you're familiar with David Wolf, and I've seen pictures that he's produced that has show, ice cubes, with Ormus in it, and
spikes coming out.
Spikes, yeah, going vertically. I'm not sure what you stalactite or something, and it appears as if the Ormus is trying to jump out of the ice cube, and so it's producing a levitative effect. And I know he talks a lot about the levitative effect of foods and things like that. And so Ormus seems to do that as well.
Absolutely. In fact, there's some evidence. Google Viktor Grebennikov.
Okay, I'll do that right now. Google. How do you spell that name?
Grebennikov.
K-O-V. Google's great. It just gives you the correct spelling.
And Viktor Grebennikov is a Russian scientist who basically built a flying platform, a little levitating platform,
mm-hmm.
using patterns, or let's say using some minerals he collected from insect wings, chitin, the exoskeleton of insects.
Mm-hmm.
And this chitin, basically when he put it in a certain pattern, under the platform that he was standing on, when he opened the wings of the platform, so to speak, then this little thing would levitate. And there's a picture of him levitating a few feet off the ground on this platform. There's several pictures of the platform. You'll see a number of images for Viktor Grebennikov.
Yeah, I'm looking at some of those right now.
And there's quite a bit of new stuff on the web that suggests that Viktor Grebennikov is that this material behaves in a way that we've seen Ormus behave.
Okay.
This insect wings and chitin.
Interesting. And that would make sense, because mushrooms are quite the interesting substances as well.
Yeah. And insects eat plants, or other insects that have eaten plants.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, everything comes from the soil. All living things come from the soil. So if plants and animals concentrate these minerals,
mm-hmm.
and these minerals have been, I have some video on my website of Ormus gold that I made,
mm-hmm.
or that a friend made. My friend Jim made some Ormus gold, and I moved a magnet under it, and it levitates away from the magnet. It literally levitates on a magnetic field.
Is the gold that you made, is that in a liquid form or in a powder form?
This was a powder.
Okay. Wow.
And another fellow made some Ormus out of azomite.
Uh-huh.
Azomite. Just Google Ormus and azomite. and you'll find a YouTube video of this stuff levitating away from a magnet. Basically, that's superconductive magnetic levitation. And these materials also seem to levitate away from our fingers and things like that as well. So if that's the same thing as what's in the insect shells, the insect wings and so on, that enabled Grebennikov to levitate, hey, there's we could use something like that.
Now, do you have something on your website that kind of lays out the different Ormus minerals? Because I believe there's an Ormus form for each of the minerals that there are. Is that right?
Well, so far, different people have determined, more or less determined, that there's something like 24 or 25 different elements that have an Ormus. Well, maybe 40 different elements that have an Ormus form. David Hudson says that many of the rare earth elements have an Ormus form. He didn't specify how many. And a gentleman in Australia converted 24 different elements into their Ormus form using the peroxide method. Mm-hmm. Hydrogen peroxide and hydrochloric acid will dissolve most metals, and these can be precipitated as a white precipitate, and that stuff has Ormus properties and is unassayable.
Okay.
And he's done this on, he did this on 24 different elements. So it looks like the Ormus elements, many of them are probably more common than their metallic form.
So, you know what would be really interesting to do or to have as documentation would be if maybe there's something like this out there, or maybe it's on your website, but it would be really great if there were a chart that gave a list of all of the Ormus elements and what. Because I know that Ormus copper, you know, people use that for gray hair. And it would be interesting to see if there is a list of all, at least 24 that there are now, of the Ormus elements, and what types of things that would affect in the body, like, say, gray hair, or, you know, rebuilding tissue or losing hair or things like that. Do you know of such a thing that's out on the internet yet about that's sort of similar to that?
Just some reports by a gentleman we called the Essene, and David Hudson's reports. Nothing has been really thoroughly documented and replicated yet.
Okay,
that's the big problem.
Because we're still relatively, you know, new and
very early in our exploration of these minerals.
Wow. So let me just take a quick break. We'll get that out of the way. And I want to ask you some of the questions as far as, you know, what types of behavior that the Ormus will exude when you're working with it. I know you talked a little bit about that. But and then when we come back, we'll also talk about where people might be able to get some of this substance if they want to buy it or if they want to make it, too. So we're with Barry Carter from SubtleEnergies.com. And we'll be right back after this break. I hope you're enjoying the interview so far and getting a lot out of it. I just wanted to tell you really quickly about a program by Chris Kresser called The Healthy Baby Code. And if you haven't heard of Chris Kresser, he's got a blog called chriskresser.com, and he's put together an amazing course on how to have a healthy baby and how to avoid things like autism and childhood diseases. And, you know, a lot of kids get leukemia these days, and it's just, you know, childhood disease is rampant. And if you're looking to avoid all that and to have the healthiest baby possible, definitely check out The Healthy Baby Code. You can find it at extremehealthradio.com/babycode. And it comes with about 5.5 hours of video presentations. It comes with audio presentations, so you can download them to your iPod. It's got hundreds of pages of resources materials, an ebook, and bonus files. You get all kinds of things like cheat sheets, meal plans, how to to breastfeed, how long to breastfeed, natural birthing. He's got the whole thing just covered from A to Z in this course. So I highly recommend, if you're looking to get pregnant or if you already are pregnant, you got to check this out. It's The Healthy Baby Code by Chris Kresser. And again, you can find it at extremehealthradio.com/babycode. Okay, we are with Barry Carter from subtleenergies.com. And Barry, I wanted to ask you a sort of a selfish question about myself. I wanted to ask you, if I have a torn ACL, what form of Ormus would I take to best work with a torn ACL?
Back in the 70s, when I first learned about vitamins and minerals, I found that everybody has different nutrient needs. Some people will be getting plenty of calcium and not enough magnesium. Mm-hmm. Others will be getting plenty of magnesium and not enough calcium. All of these minerals and vitamins, which are made of minerals, seem to interact and work together with each other. So I noticed that I didn't get enough calcium. So I took a calcium magnesium supplement and it worked for me. Other people have no problem or had no problem with calcium. That was not a problem for them. But they had problems with not enough vitamin C or not enough bioflavonoids or you know, different things work with different people.
Mm-hmm.
So what I always say is you're unique, just like everyone else. What works for you is going to be different from what works best for other people. But one thing that seems to be true, there was a guy named Maynard Murray who discovered sea energy agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
He discovered that there were certain minerals in seawater that were really, really beneficial. And he's the guy that also tested seawater and found that the balance of minerals in seawater was pretty close to the balance of minerals in the blood.
Yeah, I've heard that as well. I think it corresponds almost perfectly.
Mm-hmm. And so that might be a good place to start.
Okay. Now, what Ormus mineral was given to Tut, King Tut?
He was given a product from Priestess Alchemy.
Okay.
Plus other things that I'm not really sure. Some sea minerals. I'm not really sure what the other product is.
Okay.
But on my website, subtleenergies.com/Ormus, ORMUS, /TW, as in the work, TW.
Okay.
/TW/sources.htm.
Source.
You'll find a list of Ormus sources and Ormus providers.
Oh, great. I was going to ask you about that. Okay.
The newest ones are at the top.
Okay.
The oldest ones are at the bottom.
Now, these have all been, I guess, tested or sources that you believe in and you stand behind, I guess.
Right. These are all sources that some people have suggested they have good amounts of Ormus in them.
Interesting. Because I know there's a lot of, you know, products on the market that, you know, say there's Ormus in there, but there's really not.
Well, it's my personal favorite hypothesis that 1/8 of the volume of the weight of all water is Ormus.
1/8 of the volume. Interesting.
Not the volume, the weight.
The weight.
Wow. Water. A scientist in Australia calculated what H2O should weigh.
Mm-hmm.
If you burn hydrogen and oxygen, this is what it should weigh. He said it would be 7.2 pounds per gallon or something like that, or 7.3. Ordinary water, even distilled water, weighs 8.3 pounds per gallon.
Okay.
So there's something in water and nobody knows what it is. Nobody knows what it is just about the definition of ormus.
Right. It's kind of an unknown. People just, it's so complex and yet it seems so simple. Now, can you make ormus by vortexing water? I know there's a guy, Ron Cusan. He does absolutely.
Yes.
A vortexing and thing.
And your Vitamix is a great way to do that.
And how would you do that with water?
Well, you vortex it in a magnetic field.
Okay.
And now we're not concentrating the ormus in the water or the whatever we've got. We're energizing the ormus.
Okay.
A little bit of energy is good. Too much energy is probably bad. So start slow and just do it for a minute or so.
Okay. Now, I have, a while back, a few years ago, I watched a video in which, I forget who was doing it, but they were talking about going to your local hardware store and getting little magnetic strips that are sticky, like a sticker on one side. And yep. I think I placed two on each of the four sides of the blender, and apparently that's supposed to do it. So I just did it just because, hey, it doesn't take any extra work to do, and if it won't do anything bad. And so I just figured, hey, if it's going to be as good as what they were talking about, I might as well just do it, because what the heck. And so now what would that be doing, kind of like what you were just talking about, vortexing it using magnets?
Yeah, you're vortexing it in a magnetic field.
And so you're not concentrating, you're just energizing the ormus.
Exactly.
Interesting, okay.
Now, there's a very simple trap you can make with a tin can and speaker magnets.
Okay.
Or magnets that you get out of the inside of a hard drive.
Mm-hmm.
You take these little magnets, and the hard drive magnets are a lot stronger than the speaker magnets, and you put three or four of the hard drive magnets or a big speaker magnet on the bottom of a tin can.
Okay.
Like a soup can.
Okay.
Try to get one that's BPA free. And put water in the can. Stir the water. And now it's on the outside, on the bottom of the outside, this is where the magnet goes. Stir the water. And let it sit for, an hour or two. And then take an eyedropper and take the water out of the center at the top.
Okay.
That'll be the water that's gotten as far away as possible from the magnetic field.
The center at the very top.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because the whole can is magnetized by the magnets on the outside and on the bottom.
Okay.
And it's a very simple thing.
Interesting.
Real easy to do.
So, now,
if you wanted to make an ormus oil for topical application, get some Celtic sea salt, some natural good Celtic sea salt. It's grown in Brittany off the coast of France, or on the coast of France.
Okay.
And it's kind of a damp gray salt. I hear that Dead Sea salt works too.
Mm-hmm.
But get some salt and put about a third... Fill a container about a third full of salt and the rest with oil, an edible oil. I like grapeseed oil because it absorbs into the skin well.
Okay.
And put the oil on top and it'll go down into the salt, shake it up good, and then let it set for a few days, two or three days. The ormus will move from the salt into the oil.
Salt into the oil, okay.
And the oil then will be particularly ormus rich, and you can take this ormus rich oil and apply it topically. You can put it on your salad, whatever you want to do.
Wow. So if someone wanted to get some Ormus, let's say they didn't want to, make it themselves, and they just wanted to buy some for their garden, would they go to your Ormus sources page and find a place that sold Ormus in a powder form and then use it on their garden?
Yeah, powder form doesn't go as well into the plants, into the soil.
Okay.
Once it's been dried, it isn't as good. So you want a wet product.
Okay, so you could just go to your Ormus sources page and find a
Ormus
website.
Ormus Plant Product Providers is listed there.
Plant Product. Oh, there we go. Okay, Ormus Plant Product Providers. Wow, and then so they can start getting some. Now, when you talked about your walnuts and your other plants, it's interesting that when you're using Ormus and minerals in your garden, you don't typically need to use not fertilizer, but things to kill the pests, because the plant is so healthy. It's sort of like the human body. When you're healthy, you don't need antibiotics and things like that. And the plants sort of work the same way, right? Where
that seems to be the case. Yes,
it's interesting. So you don't need to waste any money on those chemicals that you spray on to kill pests, because the plant. I've heard of people using Ormus on fruit trees in Michigan, and it's crazy, orange trees in Michigan where stuff like that is not supposed to grow, but these things are so healthy.
Exactly. Yes.
From the Ormus, that's amazing. So it's almost as if
it increases drought tolerance and freeze tolerance.
It's almost as if this Ormus is another kind of mineral that exists in a different plane or something.
Well, my friend Jim, who I first heard, the first story I ever heard about Ormus was from Jim. Uh-huh. And in the TW folder, it's my story, mystory.htm.
Okay.
When I first heard about this, he suggested it's like ordinary metal has three legs right here in the physical.
Mm-hmm.
Ormus has two legs here and one leg somewhere else.
And so that's why it jumps around and can go through things, physical objects.
Right. It's sort of a multidimensional substance.
Wow, so is it like an atom it's substance that only has one atom instead of many atoms connected?
We're not sure if it's monatomic or diatomic or something else. Ormus seems to, however, like to hang out inside of some kind of a shielding molecule.
Okay.
In other words, it likes to be the clathrate guest.
Uh-huh.
And the clathrate host could be the water molecule. Dr. Martin Chaplin in the UK suggests that Ormus, or that water, is an icosahedral or dodecahedral structure.
Uh-huh.
Ordinarily. Well, that would provide a good place for the Ormus to hang out inside. Icosahedral is like a geodesic dome, a buckyball.
Mm-hmm.
And the Ormus would be hanging out inside of that buckyball. And that would provide it some shielding from magnetic fields, and the Ormus in turn could resonate and change its resonance. If you change the Ormus resonance by getting it coherent, like spinning it in a magnetic field or just spinning it in general,
mm-hmm.
So that it's spin coherent, you might find that water responds to our thoughts, mm-hmm. or to words that are pasted on the bottle of water, like Masaru Emoto talks about.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, homeopathic remedies are imparting frequencies to the water. Even though there may be no more of the statistically no more of the original substance that was put in with the homeopathic remedy before it was diluted, there may be something there that's causing it to change the resonance of the water, because it's changing the resonance of the ormus in the water, and the water is becoming more coherent, and this coherent resonance makes the water, let's say, makes the water molecules a bit smaller so that they can go into your cells carrying nutrients in a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. So it's almost as if the water is able to carry more information.
Carry more information and carry more nutrients.
Mm-hmm.
And the wetter water would also carry toxins out of the body mm-hmm. better.
That makes sense. So ormus is something that people, if they're looking, I know we've only got a couple minutes left, but if people are thinking to themselves, you know, how do I start using this stuff? So one good way would be to purchase some of the products that are on the sources list on subtleenergies.com and use it on your garden and start growing some uh-huh. food with it. And then another way would be purchase some ormus products that you could start ingesting and start, you know, noticing the differences and start seeing the results.
And another good way is to make it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And if you decide to do any of these things, it's going to be really, really helpful to everybody if you share, well, everybody that eats food or breathes air, if you share your information, your experiences with ormus on some of the ormus forums.
Okay.
You replace the word sources in the TW folder with forums.htm.
Okay.
And you will find a list of ormus forums around the world, some local, many of them are global, and some of the largest forums have like 4,000 people on them. And on that forums page, you can find all kinds of good information about forums that are close to you and forums that you may want to join. There's one forum specifically for plants, ormus and plants. Another one for health. Another one for spiritual aspects. Another one for science. So find a forum that resonates with you and join the forum and share your experiences, because this is the only way we're going to get this information out and about.
Yeah, that's true. Wow, there's a lot of links on this page. So in wrapping up, Barry, what kinds of things are you working on? I know you're experimenting with ormus probably every day, but what direction are you headed in?
I want to set up an ormus research facility, probably here in Baker City, to explore the benefits of ormus for plants, animals, and people, and to figure out ways to identify how much ormus is in a given water source, how much is in a given bit of soil or given bit of rocks or in the air around you,
mm-hmm.
and to provide scientific evidence that these elements do in fact exist. Because I think it's really, really important now. With everybody's got a favorite disaster anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's really important with all of these favorite disasters that people have. One of the things that's common with all of them is food. Food's going to be limited. And if we can double plant growth and production in 2 years, that could solve it.
Yeah. So you're looking to possibly set up a research center in Oregon so that you can kind of accomplish all of this.
Exactly.
Wow, that would be amazing. Yeah, we need more people out there looking into these things because, as you know, we only know probably less than 1% about the way the human body works and what water is and what ormus is. And, you know, it's so, you know, I think this kind of research would be amazing.
You can find change the word sources.htm to favorite.htm.
Okay.
And you can find a lot more links there to some of my more recent articles and so on. And I don't even mention the word Ormus in the favorite page.
Okay, interesting. Wow, yeah, you got lots of information on here. So you visit everybody, subtleenergies.com. And Barry, do you mind staying on after I close out the show?
Absolutely, no problem.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. All right, thank you so much, everybody, for joining us today on ExtremeHealthRadio.com. You can find this show and the show notes at ExtremeHealthRadio.com/15. And don't forget to visit Barry's website, SubtleEnergies.com. And if you found value in this show, could you do me a huge favor and click the like button on Facebook for this show and like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter and maybe send the link out to your friends, because we're really, really relying on you guys to help spread the word of this kind of information and things like that. And so don't forget to visit our store. We've got lots of really great products like the Vitamix and rebounders and e-products and all kinds of great stuff in our store. And if you'd like to donate, we accept donations. We're 100% listener supported, so feel free to donate. We would greatly, greatly appreciate that. So thank you so much for listening.